Upland Bible Church, Pastor Richard J. Olson, 920 Upland Boulevard, Las Vegas, Nevada, 89107. Wednesday class, 24 September, 2025, 2 Corinthians.
In our Wednesday night class, we are studying the two greatest chapters in the Word of God that define grace giving. And that last hymn that you listened to, the Lamb of God, that's the greatest illustration of the principle of grace giving, the Lamb of God. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing through the teaching of God's word. And therefore, open the word of God to 2 Corinthians chapter 8. 2 Corinthians chapter 8. And in preparation to worship our Lord, a few moments of silent prayer, shall we? Father, we thank you, sir, for your infinite and your matchless grace. And we thank you, Heavenly Father, that you have magnified your word over all of your name. And therefore, the word of God is more important than the very air that we breathe. And as we assemble this evening to fellowship in the word, we ask that our teacher, God the Holy Spirit, will set apart the absolute truth of Scripture to the nourishment and to the benefit of each one of our souls. We pray these things in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. An article by Tom Gilbreth, Deception and Lies. The Bible describes an end of the age world increasingly filled with chaos, fear, and despair. There will be an increasing number of unsettling threats and events. Human attitudes will take a drastic turn for the worse. These big picture movements come as the fulfillment of many end-time signs, but especially from deception, lies, from Satan, who is the father of lies. Jesus gave special emphasis to deception as a sign. And we, 21st century people, we know something about deception. We have more powerful communication tools than anything dreamed of in previous generations. Simultaneously, we see a dramatic lowering of moral standards. Lying has been normalized at just the point in history when lies spread most easily. Jesus spoke of deception in terms of people crying to take his place, his title, his role. In Matthew 24, 4 and 5, he said, "Take heed that no one deceive you, for many will come in my name, saying, 'I am the Christ,' and they will deceive many." Lies will become ever more ubiquitous as the father of lies, Satan, becomes ever more active. This will grow much worse after the rapture. The ultimate example of a deceiver claiming the authority of Christ will be the Antichrist. But he can't come to power until we're gone. The church is gone after the rapture. But we already see deception rising in thousands of ways. That part of the end time scenario is well underway. And it is devastating lives. When a society hides the truth and promotes lies, it drives its people toward destruction. Lies imprison and kill. Truth brings life and sets captives free. We need an absolute on which to orient our lives and reveal what's right and true and give us peace. Not just a feeling, but real peace. God alone stands above space and time. He alone is sufficient. God and His Word are aletheia, absolute truth. So we have it. It's here. God's given it to us. God is absolute truth. His Word is absolute truth. It's available if you want it. But the things that you have, your dadgum cell phones and the well, I don't even have all those things. So I don't even know what they're called. But your computers and all you're not getting. You have potential all for lies, 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 lies. But all of you have to have one. But see, where do these people that assassinate other people in this country, where do they get it from? The lies on their phones of lies in their computers, lies, 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 not truth, truth of the Word of God. I don't have those things. I don't want them. Oh, I do have a computer, but all I do is set the thing on fire. We had a computer in here and it started smoking and fire alarms went off. The fire department showed up. They're running all around trying to find out. They were up on the roof trying to, had axes, gonna put out the fire. All of a sudden they said, "It's this computer." I said, "That's my fault. I had that computer's brain so mixed up it started on fire." So you see, I don't give a damn about computers. I don't give a damn about cell phones and all those things. But I do give a damn, I give a heaven about the Word of God. The Word of God is absolute truth. And if you want to get absolute truth, it's in the God-breathed Scriptures. Not in all the other things. The God-breathed Scriptures. Well, we are in, this is one of my great classes I love to teach. 2 Corinthians chapter 8 and 9. two of the greatest chapters in all the Word of God that defines what grace giving is really all about. We're just getting started in chapter 8. It keeps on going through the rest of chapter 8 into chapter 9. We executed. Verses 8 and 9. We've exegeted verses 8 and 9. See, I'm glad you have a sense of humor. And now you're going to pray for the pastor's mouth to start working. See? Verse 8. I absolutely am not declaring this as a command, but through the earnestness of others. He's talking about the Macedonian believers as an illustration of what grace giving is all about. And to test for approval the genuineness of your virtue love, specifically your impersonal love for all in grace giving. And then verse 9, the greatest illustration ever in the Word of God on grace giving. For you have come to know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, the eternal Son of God, yet for your sakes he became poor. Operation Grace. He went to the cross to solve the world problem of sin. For the purpose that you, by means of his extreme poverty, his salvation work on the cross, might become rich. This is the greatest illustration of free will grace giving. The Lord Jesus Christ on the cross. He did that for us when we were in spiritual death and totally depraved. Grace giving is the giving of yourself to the Lord as he gave himself for you. You give as an extension of virtue love in your soul. Jesus Christ's personal love for God the Father motivated him to carry out the incarnation plan of the Father, Operation Grace, the cross. Jesus Christ's personal love for God the Father motivated his impersonal love for you and me, spiritually dead and totally depraved mankind. And he willingly went to the cross and paid the penalty for our sins. Jesus Christ has set the precedence for free will grace giving. The Lord Jesus Christ grace giving, offering himself on the cross, is the greatest illustration of what grace giving is all about. Now that brings us to 2 Corinthians 8:10. So a couple of points in introduction. One, now in 2 Corinthians 8 verse 10 through chapter 9 verse 5, we have Paul's advice and arrangements for the collection of their grace giving. Now in 2 Corinthians 8, verse 10 through chapter 9, verse 5, we have Paul's advice and arrangement for the collection of their grace giving. Two, Paul offers a brief rationale for the collection, and he also gives an explanation of how it should be administered. Administration. Yet it takes great administration when it comes to handling money given to the Lord. Great administration. Three, in 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verses 10 through 12, We have Paul's advice to the Corinthian believers. He tells them, you need to finish what you started. You need to finish what you started. They started to take an offering for the destitute believers in Jerusalem a year before, but it stopped. So they started this offering a year before. They started it, but Paul now in verses 10 through 12 says, now you need to finish what you started. 2 Corinthians 8, verse 10. And in this I give my advice. This is the conjunction chi plus the prepositional phrase and plus the dative singular of the demonstrative pronoun houtos plus the present active indicative of didomi plus the accusative singular of gnome. The conjunction chi is a connective chi, correctly translated, and. And then we have our friend didomi. D-I-D long O-M-I. Didomi. A couple of points on didomi. First of all, literally, didomi means to give something to someone. That's its literal translation. To give something to someone. Two, didomi means to give in the sense of to grant or to bestow or to impart. Three, in our verse, the meaning of didomi is determined by the noun object that it's related to. And you have to know that now. That's gnome. So the key to didomi is knowing this noun. G-N long O-M long E. Gnome. You look at it and see gnome, but it's gnome. Gnome means opinion, an opinion based on the Word of God, Bible doctrine, or judgment. Opinion based on the Word of God or judgment. For didomi gnome means express a judgment or give an opinion. Express a judgment or give an opinion. The Apostle Paul is now giving an opinion. Five, and then we have the preposition en tuto, prepositional phrase. En tuto. It's the preposition en plus the dative of the demonstrative pronoun houtos. En plus houtos, and that's H-O-U-T-O-S, houtos. And en tuto means in this matter. So the corrected translation, and I am giving my opinion in this matter. Corrected translation. And I am giving my opinion in this matter. Now, one, Paul is not giving an order. He's not. Paul is not giving an order. He is giving advice. Advice based on the absolute truth of the Word of God. So the Apostle Paul is not giving an order here. He is giving advice based on the absolute truth of the Word of God. Two, Paul is not demanding that the believers in Corinth give. He's not commanding that. This isn't a mandate. This isn't an order. He is not demanding that they give. You can't do that. No communicator of the Word of God, no pastor, no one can command anyone to give anything. Three, grace giving must always be a matter of your volition, your free will. Grace giving must always be a matter of your volition, your free will. You cannot demand someone to give. Four, grace giving is a spiritual sacrifice that you have the privilege of offering from your royal priesthood. Now, we are living in a unique dispensation. There's no dispensation like the church age. We are living in a time when there's a universal priesthood. All of you are priests. Every one of you are a priest, a royal priesthood. And as a royal, in the age of Israel, it was a specialized priesthood. In the age of Israel, you had to be of the tribe of Levi. If you weren't of the tribe of Levi, you couldn't be a priest. But in the church age, it's a universal priesthood. Every single one of you have been commissioned a royal priest. And in the age of Israel, they offered animal sacrifices. We don't offer animal sacrifices. We offer spiritual sacrifices. Every one of you, you're a royal priest. And as your royal priesthood, of course, most believers don't function under their royal priesthood because they're not living the spiritual life. They haven't grown up in the grace and knowledge of Christ. They don't have virtue, love brought to completion in their heart. And they haven't got a clue. They are not fulfilling their royal priesthood. There are no spiritual sacrifices being offered to the Father from most church-age believers today from their priesthood. But every one of you are a priest. You're a royal priest. And as a royal priest, you offer spiritual sacrifices. And what are those spiritual sacrifices? Are they given in the Scriptures? Yes, they are. And we've seen this passage several times, but I think I have to communicate it again. Sometimes you have to hear it a million times. Hebrews chapter 13. Hebrews 13. You can turn over to Hebrews 13. I want you got to... This is church age truth, mysterion doctrine for you, royal family of God, as a royal priest and your royal priesthood. Hebrews chapter 13, verse 15. Through him then, let us continually, notice, not just once a year, twice a year, let us continually, day by day by day by day by day, continually offer up a sacrifice. This is a spiritual sacrifice. And this first spiritual sacrifice is praise to God. You offer that spiritual sacrifice in your prayer life. And for the winner believer, you have a fantastic prayer life. You pray every single day. The winner believer prays every single day, several times a day. Several times a day. That's the winner believer. Now, the carnal reversionistic believer doesn't even believe in prayer, doesn't pray hardly at all. And so there's absolutely no spiritual sacrifices in prayer of thanksgiving to God for who and what He is, thanking God for His essence, thanking God for His attributes, thanking God for His plan and will and purpose, and going through. Well, that's the first thing when I come to the happy place, and this is my happy place. I come here every day to the happy place, and the first thing I want to do is talk talk to the living and true God, who is the most important love of my life. And because he's the most important love of my life, I want to talk to him in prayer and offer spiritual sacrifices from my royal priesthood and pray. And I go, there are so many spiritual sacrifices of thanksgiving every day. And the winner believer, you as a winner believer, in your prayer life, you offer spiritual sacrifice after spiritual sacrifice after spiritual sacrifice. I go through and thank God for every one of his attributes. And we're studying those attributes on Sunday morning, Romans 8. We're studying. All things work together for good, for those who love God. But you got to know God before you can love God. And knowing God is knowing who and what he is, knowing his essence, his attributes. And we're going through in more detail than I have in a long, long time. And that gives you spiritual sacrifices as you grow up in the grace and knowledge of Christ. You will have these fantastic spiritual sacrifices you offer to the Father as you thank him, thanksgiving. For who and what he is, his sovereignty, his righteousness, his justice, his love, his eternal life, his omniscience, omnipresence, omnipotence, immutability, veracity. And go through, not just saying the word, but you know now, you're learning what all that means. And thanking him for everything that means. You will be fulfilling your royal priesthood and offering spiritual sacrifices. Through him then let us continually, day after day after day, offer up a sacrifice, spiritual sacrifice of praise to God. That is the fruit of lips that give thanks to his name. When it says his name, it means his person. It means his essence. It means who and what he is. And that's just one of the spiritual sacrifices. Then we have two more mentioned in verse 16. And do not neglect the spiritual sacrifice of doing good, divine good production. That's the result of living the spiritual life. That's the result of attaining spiritual maturity. Divine good production. That's spiritual sacrifices you offer to God. And another one, grace giving. Grace giving is the spiritual sacrifice that you offer to God. For with these sacrifices, with these spiritual sacrifices, thanksgiving to God, divine good production, grace giving, God is pleased. Hebrews 13, 15, and 16. Grace giving. And if you haven't grown up in the grace and knowledge of Christ, then don't give. And when I first came here, every Sunday when we started taking offering, I told the people, if you're not here to give, you're here to grow up in the grace and knowledge of Christ. And if you don't understand grace, then don't give. Hang on to your billfold. Hang on to your purse and don't give. You're not here to give. You're here to grow up spiritually in the grace and knowledge of Christ. And if you think tithing is giving, don't give. Tithing has nothing to do with giving. So don't give. And so for years, I spent every Sunday telling people, don't give. Now, most of those people have gone to greener pastures. I think it's browner pastures, but they've gone there anyway. And I don't feel I have to say that every Sunday now to y'all. So grace giving is a spiritual sacrifice from your royal priesthood. Hebrews 13, 15, and 16. 5. Grace giving always reflects the character and virtue of the one who gives. Grace giving always reflects the character and the virtue of the one who gives. So the corrected translation says, "And I am giving my opinion in this matter based on the absolute truth of the Word of God." And then he goes on, "For this is expedient for you." This is the postpositive conjunction gar plus the nominative singular neuter of the demonstrative pronoun houtos plus the present active indicative of sumphero plus the dative plural of the personal pronoun su. Now, the postpositive conjunction gar, G-A-R, gar, postpositive conjunction gar is an illative gar. And the illative introduces a reason, and you correctly translate it for. So, one, the Corinthian believers started to take an offering for the destitute believers in Jerusalem approximately 1 year before. The Corinthian believers started to take an offering for the destitute believers in Jerusalem approximately 1 year before. Two, however, the offering was never completed. The offering was never completed, and the grace giving, the money, was never taken to Jerusalem. Three, Paul is saying, you need to finish what you have started. Paul is simply saying, you need to finish what you have started. Four, the illative use of gar says the reason for doing this is that it is sumphero for you. It's sumphero for you. You see, You have the word in the King James, expedient. How did that really made you happy, did it? Expedient? It is sumphero for you. Terrible translation. I'd flunk that guy that translated expedient. And then we have the demonstrative pronoun houtos. H-O-U-T-O-S, houtos. And houtos is, it means this, and this is the completion of this grace giving. The completion of this grace giving, it will be sumphero humin. The completion of this grace giving will be sumphero, and then the object, the plural of the personal pronoun su, but who mean looks like this. That's the personal pronoun su. Verb sumphero, S-U-M-P-H-E-R, long O. This is the dative plural of su, H-U-M-I-N, sumphero for you. Sumphero for you. Okay, now we better find out what sumphero is. One, sumphero is a compound verb made up of the preposition soon, with, and phero, to bring. It's a compound verb made up of the preposition soon, with, and phero, to bring. Two, So literally, sumphero means to bring with something, to bring together something. To bring with something, to bring together something. That's literally. Three, figuratively, sumphero means to help. And with the personal pronoun su, which we have, to help you. So figuratively, sumphero means to help. And with the personal pronoun su, which we have, it means to help you. Or to confer a blessing to you. Or to be advantageous for you. Or to be profitable for you. So we have sumphero used in the figurative sense to help you with the personal pronoun su, to help you, to confer a blessing on you, to be advantageous for you, to be profitable for you. Point four, principle. When you give in grace, free will, grace giving, God always resupplies to you in grace. When you give in free will, grace giving, God always resupplies to you in grace. Five, grace giving always results in grace blessing. Grace giving always results in grace blessing for the one who gives. Fantastic principle. And you won't ever realize this till you grow up in the grace and knowledge of Christ, till you have maximum grace orientation and doctrinal orientation, till you have virtue, love brought to completion in your heart. But when you get there, you will totally understand this. Grace giving always results in grace blessing for the one who gives. And I learned that a long time ago. And Deb, and I've, over and over, I've sat down and both of us talked, and I said, don't worry. I said, the number one thing is this. Make sure that we're both in fellowship with God, living the spiritual life. Make sure that we're operating on virtue love, impersonal love for all. And then I said, I'll give in grace. Everywhere I go, I will give in grace. I'm not worried about it because God always resupplies even more than what I give. Always. Now, some of you have maybe never realized that, never seen that in your life. The potential is there for all of you. If you ever grow up in the grace and knowledge of Christ, if you ever have virtue, love brought to completion in your heart, then you will have a mental attitude that you love to free will give in grace. And that's true for my life. Everywhere that I go, people I have contact with, I don't care if it's a restaurant and waiters, I don't care if it's a barber getting my hair cut, I don't care if it's somebody coming out and doing something at our house. We give in grace. I give in grace. Debbie understands that. She gives in grace. And God always, always resupplies. Now, there's a lot of believers. They are the stingiest SOBs on the planet Earth. absolutely the stingiest ones, and they wouldn't give more than a penny at this and that. Now, if you have a family, and you have to provide for that family, and you only have enough funds to provide for that family, then you provide for the family and forget about the giving is in here. The grace giving is a mental attitude. It isn't what you put in the offering bag, because you put it in, Gary Brown will take the offering bag. It isn't what you put in. It's what you have in here. You don't have to put anything. You don't have to give anything. If you've given in your soul, you've given. Grace giving is in here. It's giving yourself to the Lord. That's grace giving. It's not money. Not a little bit of money or a lot of money. It has nothing to do with it. But if you have a family to provide for, you provide for that family. If you don't, you are worse than an unbeliever. That's pretty bad. The King James says you're worse than an infidel. I kind of like infidel. Sounds worse than an unbeliever. So don't worry about that. You have a family to provide for, then you do that. And your mental attitude, you give right in here. So figuratively, sum fero with the personal pronoun su means to help you, to confer a blessing on you, to be advantageous for you, to be profitable for you. So the principle is, when you give in grace, God always resupplies in grace. 5, grace giving always results in grace blessing for the one who gives. Very important principle. Grace giving always results in grace blessing for the one who gives. Now, the Apostle Paul is teaching that here in chapter 8, but we've got 2 chapters. And the Apostle Paul is maybe the greatest Bible teacher of all time. You know how he teaches? Repetition. So turn over to chapter 9. He's going to repeat this principle. 2 Corinthians chapter 9. We're going to learn this again. 2 Corinthians 9. Second Corinthians 9, starting at verse 6. He says, remember this, whoever sows sparingly will also reap sparingly. And whoever sows generously will also reap generously. Each man should give what he has decided in his heart to give, not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a grace-oriented giver. And God is able to make all grace abound to you, so that in all things, at all times, having all sufficiency, you will abound in every good work. And that every good work in chapter 8 and 9 is the spiritual sacrifice of grace giving. So he will repeat this again when we get to chapter 9. So the corrected translation, and I am giving my opinion in this matter based on the absolute truth of the Word of God. For this, the completion of this grace giving is to your advantage. It's blessing for you. And then we have in the King James, who have begun before, not only to do, but also to be willing. A year ago. This is the nominative plural of hostess. plus the objective negative ou with the neuter of the adjective monos, and when you have monos in the neuter, it becomes an adverb. The articular aorist active infinitive of the verb poieo, the conjunction Allah combined with kai, the articular present active infinitive of thelo, plus the aorist middle indicative of pro and archomai, and the prepositional phrase apa with the adverb perusi. All right, well, we start out with hostess. Hostess, you know, the hostess with the mostess. H-O-S-T-I-S. Hostess. Now, hostess is a compound word made up of the relative pronoun hosts plus the indefinite pronoun tis. So you have hosts plus tis. So, one, hostess generally means whoever or everyone who. But this is very important. Two, hostess is used here qualitatively. Qualitatively. In our verse, hostess is used qualitatively. It indicates those persons who belong to a certain class, a quality, certain class or quality. Three, you who are of such a quality as to be able to handle this grace giving. You who are of such a quality as to be able to handle the principle of grace giving. And then we have the objective negative u with the neuter of monos, and the neuter is monon. So we have u monon. And that's how it looks in the English and the Greek, and monon, M-O-N-O-N. That's the neuter of monos. So we have u monon. And it says, who are of such a quality, not only. Monos in the neuter is an adverb and it should be translated only. Who are of such a quality, not only. And then we have the verb poieo, not only to do. P-O-I-E long O. Poieo, the verb to do. To do, to act, to proceed. That point of time when the desire to give grace giving is fulfilled. You fulfill and give in grace. And then we have Allah Kai. Allah Kai. A-L-L-A-K-A-I. And you translate this, but also. But also. Who are of such a quality, not only to do, but also to fellow. Not only to poieo, but also to thelo. That's what they do, I know, in Texas. They thelo. T-H-E-L-O, thelo. So this verb, thelo, expresses one's desire. You not only who are of such a quality not only to do, to desire to give, the point of time when the desire to give is fulfilled, you do it, but also to thelo, to wish to give, to desire to give. You want to give. That's thelo. Not only to give, But you wish to give, you desire to give, you want to give. That's fellow. So two, the believer with maximum grace orientation and doctrinal orientation always has the desire in his heart to give in grace. The believer with maximum grace orientation and doctrinal orientation always has the desire in his heart to give in grace. Three, his desire to fulfill the spiritual sacrifice of grace giving expresses his impersonal love for all. His desire to fulfill the spiritual sacrifice of grace giving expresses his impersonal love for all. So what we have here, the key is this. The key here is to do and to desire. To do and to desire. And then pro and archomai. Pro and archomai. PROENARCHOMAI. Pro and archomai. Now, first of all, one, pro-anarchomai is only found two times. Only found two times in the New Testament scriptures. Both times, it's used by the Apostle Paul. And both times, in our passage on grace giving. 2 Corinthians 8:6, 2 Corinthians 8:10. It's not found in the Septuagint or Greek versions of the Old Testament, including the Apocrypha. It's not found in Greek writers before the Christian era. It's very likely that the Apostle Paul and his genius coined this word under the ministry of God the Holy Spirit and the inspiration of Scripture. Point two, pro-anarchomai means to begin beforehand so that the beginning lies in the past as contrasted with the present. Pro-anarchomai means to begin beforehand so that the beginning lies in the past as contrasted with the present. It means to begin something before at a particular time. Three, pro-anarchomai is explained by the prepositional phrase apa perusi. Apa, A-P-O, perusi, P-E-R-U-S-I. Apo perusi. So pro-anarchomai is explained by the prepositional phrase apo perusi. For the preposition apa denotes the point of time from which something begins. A point of time from which something begins. Apa. And then, excuse me, whoo. Why? A good thing I caught that. That, I just blew my brains out right there. It's not very big. It's like a BB in a boxcar up there rolling around. It just came out my nose, though. Oh. Five, perusi is an adverb of time, and it means last year, a year ago. It's an adverb of time, last year or a year ago. Apoperousi is correctly translated a year ago or since last year. So now we have the corrected translation of verse 10. And I am giving my opinion in this matter based on the absolute truth of the Word of God. For this, that is the completion of this grace giving, is to your advantage. It's grace blessing for you who are of such a quality, not only to do, but also to desire that which you began a year ago. Great, great verse. I'll give it to you again. And I am giving my opinion in this matter based on the absolute truth of the Word of God. For this, the completion of this grace giving, is to your advantage, grace blessing for you, who are of such a quality not only to do, but also to desire that which you began a year ago. Now in verse 11, we have the Apostle Paul's advice. Now therefore, perform the doing of it. That's the King James. This is the adverb nuni, plus the conjunction de with the conjunction chi, plus the articular aorist active infinitive of poieo, plus the aorist active imperative of epiteleo. The adverb of time, nuni. Now, you see, normally, the adverb of time that's used most of the time is noon, N-U-N. We don't have noon. We have nuni, N-U-N-I. That's an adverb of a different color right there. I was going to say that's a horse of a different color, but it's an adverb of a different color. Nuni is only used by the Apostle Paul. And Paul always uses nuni with the conjunction de. Nuni de. Only used by the Apostle Paul, and he always uses it with de. Nuni de is correctly translated, but now. So one, Paul is now putting the spotlight on finish the grace giving that you started. That's what he's the only one who uses nuni. Nuni de, but now. And he's putting the spotlight on finishing the grace giving that you started. Two, the Corinthian believers started this grace giving a year ago, but stopped. They started a year ago, but stopped. Three, the key verb here is epiteleo. 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 This is the key verb. Point four. Epiteleo means to finish something. To finish something. Five. Epiteleo means to complete something. To accomplish something. To bring about something. To finish something. The articular infinitive of poieo is a substantive. It's used as a noun and correctly translated, the doing. What's the doing? The doing of your grace giving. And then the conjunction chi is the adjunctive chi also. But now, finish the doing of your grace giving. Bring my vocal cord. Your second. See, I'm supposed to use my diaphragm, not my vocal cord. I was taught that a long time ago. What'd you put in there? You got any more? But now, finish the doing of your grace-giving also. So that's how he starts out here. And then we'll pick it up here next time. There's so many great concepts that the Apostle Paul is giving to us here. And we're going to see a lot of them repeated when we get to chapter 9. But what a great concept. Now, this is only for, the reality of this is only for the winner believer. Only for the believer who grows up in the grace and knowledge of Jesus Christ. Only for the believer who attains spiritual maturity. Only for the believer who has virtue, love brought to completion in his heart. And then these things become reality. But when they become reality, you will honor God and glorify God every day of your life for the rest of your time you're here and then for all eternity. It's a great life. It's a great life. God wants you to have Christmas every single day. God wants you to have Thanksgiving every single day. And when you do, why, you will have this fantastic mental attitude of grace giving. It's something that's here in your soul, in your heart. It's there. Whether or not you give anything or not, it's in here and you give here. But the principle, when you give in grace, God resupplies in grace. And that's a wonderful principle. But it's only for the winner believer, not for the baby or adolescent believer or carnal reversionistic believer. It's only for the winner believer. I hope that you all will get to that point in your spiritual life and have Christmas every single day. And have Thanksgiving every single day. I really hope you get there. I hope that your life will glorify God to the maximum, every detail. I hope that you fulfill your royal priesthood in your giving spiritual sacrifices and thanksgiving to God for who and what He is, in divine good production, which is a result, not the means to reach spiritual maturity. It's the result of being there, and grace giving. Those are all spiritual sacrifices that you have the privilege. The universal priesthood of the believer in the church age. You're all royal priests. Father, we thank you for your amazing grace. May God the Holy Spirit challenge us that these principles become a source of blessing and happiness in our lives. We pray this in Jesus Christ's name. Amen.